presenting Superman.
Up in the sky, look, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
No, it's really not Superman. It's just little old me, Underdog. It's time for Tube Talk.
You are my lucky star. I saw you from afar. Two lovely eyes at me, they were gleaming, beaming. I was starstruck. You're all my lucky charm. I'm lucky in your arms. You open heaven's portals here on earth for this poor mortal. You are my lucky star. Eyes at me, they were gleaming, beaming. I was starstruck. La la li 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 la li 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 da la la li. You open heaven's portals here on earth for this poor mortal. You are my lucky star. If Venus was a glamorous creature, then you're a four-star feature. You're my lucky star.
That's Sammy Davis Jr. from a 1949 recording, You're My Lucky Star. And you are our wonderful Tube Talk audience. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Tube Talk, a one-hour program where we celebrate our electronic, musical, and entertainment history each and every week on WRCA 1330 AM, every Friday night at 10 p.m., Yes, indeed, it's that time again.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my gal and I, we ain't together. It keeps raining all of the time. Life is bad, gloom and miseries everywhere, stormy weather, just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all of the time. Oh well now, when she went away, the blues walked in and met me. And if she stays away, old rocking chair's gonna get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. I can't go on, everything I had is gone. The stormy weather since my gal and I, we ain't together. It keeps raining all of the time. just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all of the time. I can't go on. Everything I had is gone. It's stormy weather. Since my gal and I, we ain't together. Keeps on a raining all of the time. Stormy weather.
It's lost from view.
Racing with the Moon. Prior to that, we had Mr. Lou Rawls with his interpretation of Stormy Weather. And we certainly hope it's not stormy where you are tonight. We're going to be moving on in a little bit. We have a guest this evening, Mr. Greg Van Beek, is going to be joining us. And interestingly enough, he's an actual radio guy. He has a show up in the great state of Wisconsin on 1420 The Breeze. And Greg will be joining us to give us his spin on his show and on the World of Antique Radio, so we look forward to hearing from him. But I think we need to have some female vocalists here, lest we be accused tonight of having an all-male vocalist show, which is something we're certainly not going to let happen here. So here we go, Miss Dakota Staton. I Just Can't Get Started.
I've flown around the world in a plane. I've settled revolutions in Spain. The North Pole I had charted, but I can't get started with you. Around a golf course I'm under par, and all the movies want me to star. I've got a house and a show place, but I can't get no place with you. You're so supreme. Lyrics I write of you scheme, just for a sight of you dream, both day and night of you. And what good does it do? In 1929 I sold short. Said it court, but you've got me downhearted, 'cause I can't get started with you. So supreme. Lyrics I write of you scheme, just for the sight of you dream, both day and night of you. And what good does it do? In 1929, I sold short. In England, I'm presented at court. But you've got me downhearted, 'cause I can't get started with you.
How about one more, Tubniks, before we go to the interview?
Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness, no. Honeysuckle Rose. Passing by, flowers droop and sigh, and I know the reason why. You're much sweeter, goodness knows, honeysuckle rose. Don't buy sugar, you just have to touch my cup. You're when you stir it up, when I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Your confection, goodness knows, honey. honeysuckle rose. Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness no. Honeysuckle rose. When you're passing by, flowers droop and sigh, and I know the reason why. You're much sweeter, goodness no. Honeysuckle rose.
Don't buy sugar, you just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar.
It's sweet when you stir it up. When I'm a taking sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Your confection, goodness knows, you're my honeysuckle rose. You're my honeysuckle rose. Yes, you're my ever-loving honeysuckle rose.
That's Sarah Vaughan. We are very pleased tonight to have in the radio room Greg Van Beek from Radio Nostalgia Time, which is another great weekly radio program. It's featured on 1420 AM The Breeze up in Wisconsin. And Greg is a member of the Philco Forum. He's an antique radio collector, and he's an officer in one of the oldest fan clubs in the world, the Bing Crosby Fan Club. Greg, thanks for coming on. How are things tonight in the great state of Wisconsin?
Oh, we finally got some nice warm weather here for a change. It's a balmy 80 degrees.
You know, I was looking up some interesting facts on Wisconsin because I've been up to Minnesota, but I've never been to Wisconsin. And I think the state dairy animal is the dairy cow, the state domesticated animal. And it's the badger state. And for some reason, I didn't really think of Wisconsin. The state animal, I guess, is the badger. So. But a lot of beautiful scenery, great lakes, great places if you like the outdoors and you like fishing. So,
absolutely.
Super place to put on your list of places to go up and visit. So anyway, what really gave you the idea? Let's talk a little bit about Radio Nostalgia Time. It's a weekly program. It's on 1420 AM The Breeze up in Wisconsin. And how did you get involved with that? What really gave you the idea to bring Radio Nostalgia Time to the airwaves?
Well, it's actually called Nostalgia Radio Time.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
My
apologies. It started, I think, in 2009. A friend of mine is a station manager. Actually, he's the morning show host there. And he had often wanted me to do a radio show for him because he knew I had a big collection of music and interested in the music and things like that. So he gave me this hour block of time just to put together a show each week. It's a 10 o'clock each Saturday night this time, so it would be 11 o'clock out in Boston.
So, see, they could catch Tube Talk on Friday nights, then they could put on their Saturday night calendar your show. It'd be a perfect fit.
Absolutely, it'd be great.
And you can stream that on their website, right? You can listen online?
Yes, you can go to www.1420thebreeze.com, and it streams there. Or if you have a smartphone, you can go to the TuneIn Radio app and search for WJUB and listen there.
You know, I really love all this high technology stuff we do to celebrate the antique radio hobby, you know, with mobile devices and the internet. It's just so cool. Now, tell us a little bit about your program. What's the vibe? Are you really focused more on entertainment and music, sort of that celebration? Or do you guys talk about old sets? What's the topics run like up there?
Well, absolutely. It's mostly music for the first half hour, and then the second half hour is a complete vintage radio broadcast.
Very cool.
So we feature any type of radio show you can take of, from Jack Benny to Burns and Allen, a lot of comedy shows we have, The Shadow, we have Inner Sanctum, you name it. We featured quite a few different series, and of course the music portion of it is pretty much Great American Songbook, or the great entertainers and personalities of the first half of the 20th century. And we have a weekly feature on there called Bing Sings, where I put the spotlight on Bing Crosby for a song each week.
Very cool. Bing is, you know, really sort of the quintessential radio personality for a radio collector, at least in my humble opinion, because, you know, what was it, the Kraft Music Hall and the Phil, you know, the tie-in with Philco is just, you know, a beautiful thing. And I know there are people who have, you know, there's a great advertisement for Philco with Al Jolson and Bing Crosby. So all of this, you know, cross-pollinization between the music end of things and the entertainer end of things, and then the radio sets as well, because they're out there pushing those Philcos so everybody could tune in their show. Now, I was just kind of curious about, how did you get caught up in the whole Bing Crosby thing? It's fascinating to me that there's still a fan club of people in the world that's interested in a guy who's been gone for so long, but certainly left us a great musical and entertainment legacy.
Well, oddly enough, my interest in Bing Crosby came about as my interest in antique radios came about. When I was a boy growing up in the 70s, my great-grandparents had an old Coronado console radio sitting in the corner of their front room, and I can remember, I must have been a toddler at the time, I wasn't even tall enough to reach up and touch the knobs on it, but I was always fascinated by it. And somewhere in the early 80s, around 1980, 81, great-grandparents were put into an assisted living facility, and their estate was sold off. And my grandmother asked if there was anything that I would like to have as a remembrance of them out of the house, and I immediately chimed in, well, I sure'd like to have that old radio. And next thing I know, it's arriving at the house here. And lucky for me, as a boy, my dad had studied radio and television repair in college back in the 60s, so he was able to get to play for me again, and I thought that was just the greatest thing since sliced bread. And
but because it is. That's
it
cool.
It is, absolutely. And then around that time, a grocery store in town, Century Grocery Store, had a display of old-time radio shows on cassette tape for sale right near the checkout aisle, conveniently located. And I started buying those, saving up my allowance, and I remember the first show I bought was Charlie McCarthy, and it was followed by Jack Benny and Burns and Allen and on. And finally, I ran across one called The Bing Crosby Show. I had never heard of Bing Crosby up until that time. I'm sure I was exposed to him, but I just didn't make the connection who he was.
Sure.
So I bought it on a lark just to see what it was all about, and I liked what I heard. He had Judy Garland as a guest on the show, and something about the way he sang a song and the way he carried himself on radio. He was so relaxed and easygoing, and that just sparked my interest in him. So I began collecting his music and records, and on.
It's the essence of smooth. You know, he was just so smooth, and he had such a great voice. And you're right, the way he just sort of banters back and forth with the guests, he's so relaxed. It sounds like, you know, if you were an entertainer and Bing Crosby called you up and said, hey, would you want to come on my show? Well, it sounded like kind of a fun show to be on, because it didn't sound like a real high-pressure gig at all. And, you know, the other thing about Bing is, you know, he's one of these guys who brought a lot of different music to the radio that people in middle America hadn't heard before. And I think somebody said, you know, I was reading some commentator making a series of remarks about old radio, you know, and Bing Crosby was the first guy who was really considered sexy on the radio, you know, because a lot of his earlier stuff, some of the romantic ballads were just, you know, everybody knows the Bobby Soxers went gaga over Frank Sinatra, but, you know, Bing had that same type of effect on a lot of people, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely he did. Back in the early 30s when he broke out as a solo artist, I mean, there was no one that sounded like Bing Crosby. He was a trailblazer in that he created a new style of singing that still endures today.
You know,
prior to Bing, there was like Al Jolson, and that was more of a more of an in-your-face type of a singing style. But Bing was more intimate, and I suppose you could say it was sexy to the women.
Well, you know, and there's sort of a bluesy flavor to a lot of stuff he did, and you know, in the era when the entertainment business was still, you know, fairly segregated, sadly enough, he did a good deal to bring on, you know, get, you know, Louis Armstrong on the show, and he reached out to different types of performers who had different types of music to share, and, you know, in his own way was kind of a groundbreaker in that respect. So how long was he on the radio? I mean, he seemed like he had an awful long run between the Kraft Music Hall and the Philco show, didn't he?
Oh, he was on the radio. He began in 1931 on CBS, and he wound up with a, I think it was about three times a week, he did a series with Rosemary Clooney that ended in 1962. So that's 31 years he was on the radio.
Now, I can still remember as a very small kid, you know, I don't remember the one with David Bowie, which you always see, you know, people play the duet. You know, you'll see that around the holiday season. You'll see Parappa Pum Pum with David Bowie. But I remember being on a lot of different TV shows and singing well, you know, on into his later years. How old was he when he stopped performing? Any idea?
Well, he didn't stop performing until he passed away. He
really?
made his last recordings 3 days before he died.
That's great.
Songs for BBC radio show, but he was just 4 days before he died, he performed to 5,000 people in Britain. So he was active right up till the end.
That's really cool. You know, what a way to go out, and what a tribute to, you know, somebody who was still getting it done. You know, another one of my favorites that I'll play on the show sometime, and you know, we did a little eulogy for when he passed away, you know, Andy Williams, until he got his bout with cancer. I mean, he's another guy. He's in his early 80s. And he's still filling theater in Branson and still bringing back a lot of good memories and making some new ones for people, covering an awful lot of classic songs. And he still sounded pretty good, even though he was an old-timer. And they know all the tricks of the trade, how to modulate their voice and how to sing the song when your voice isn't quite as soft and supple as it used to be. So you know, that's a great tribute. How many people are in that fan club? I mean, you guys have like a newsletter. Is there a website? Could somebody check it out?
Oh, well, we have around 1,000 people worldwide that are members. The club is actually based in England, and I'm the American co-editor.
Very nice.
And we're the world's oldest active fan club. We're actually listed in the Guinness Book of World Records. The International Club Crosby was founded in 1936, and we're still going strong today.
Well, that's great. You know, it's nice to see somebody whose music still lives on and is still appreciated. And there's enough people who, you know, still will read and still like to listen to it. And it's like anything else, if they find old transcription discs or old tapes and, you know, the stuff that they uncover, and if you can get it, you know, I don't know. Do they still re-release any of his stuff? I don't know if they re-release anything other than music that would sell on the Internet, you know, as downloads. Is there ever anything still issued?
Oh, yes. The family in recent years has become quite active in digging through Bing's personal archives and releasing a bunch of things on CD. His personal website is bingcrosby.com, which is easy enough to remember, and there they have a store where you can actually purchase some of that unique stuff that's put out by the family. But our club website is bingmagazine.co.uk.
Well, that's cool, and it's nice to see his family is keeping that heritage alive. Is Gary Crosby still around? Because he's somebody else that people might remember. I mean, he was in movies, and I remember him. He was in an episode of Adam 12. You know, he was in several episodes. He had a little TV acting, and is he still alive?
No, he passed away in 1995. All of Bing's first four boys are deceased, and his second family is still very active. He had two boys and a girl, Mary Crosby, whom you might remember was the one who shot J.R. Ewing on the original Dallas series.
Well, you know, those are the things that get you notoriety in this world, you know. So
right.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about you and the radio collecting. You know, alluded to the fact that you got started with your grandmother's set. Do you still have it?
Yes, I do. It's actually
That's
my great grandparents, and
they
lived in the same house that my grandmother grew up in the 20s and 30s. So it was then visiting them was kind of like visiting a time capsule back to that era, because the radio sat in the corner of the front room just like the it did 19 to that era because the radio sat in the corner of the front room just like it did 1940 when it was new.
That's cool. That's great. I managed to get out of a secondhand store a Philco 45L, and I asked the lady. I always try to get, you know, the story behind the story. Where'd you find that? You know, and sometimes, you know, they get them at flea markets or they troll yard sales and that type of thing. But this was kind of cool. She goes, you know, I'm selling that on consignment for a fellow who's in his 90s. It was been in his living room for 62 years. I said, wow. You know, so he had it, and it sat there forever and covered up with doilies and who knows what else, you know, in the way of knickknacks. Now, tell us a little bit about your collection. Do you collect a particular brand? I know you're very fond of Philco. Do you have anything else that you know catches your fancy in addition to the Philcos and your Coronado?
Well, Philco is the primary brand that I collect. I just did a rundown. I've got 28 Philcos in my collection that range from 1933 until 1949. But in addition to the Coronado, I also have a 1942 Zenith, which was actually my other set of great-grandparents' radio that they bought new. So I actually have two radios that were in the family since new, and this Zenith is a Model 7S633, and I just went over that again about a month or so ago and got it working again. It had been inactive for a number of years. So it's always I think you get more personal satisfaction getting a radio working again that was belonged to a family member.
Yep, yep. I know what you mean.
There's a sentimental value attached
there. Sure. Now, so you do electrical restoration work. You do a little cabinet work as well, or is electrical your primary focus?
Well, I do the electrical, but the cabinet work is the stuff that I really enjoy the most, is getting it to look pretty again. And, I know a lot of collectors, they go to the extremes of shining up the chassis, and I mean, they're works of art, some of the radios I've seen, and I applaud all those people who do that. I wish I had the patience to go to that extreme, but...
Well, patience and time, it's tough to come by, you know?
That's right. I get them to work, and get them to look nice up front, and you'll notice on the Philco forum, a lot of the radios I've posted pictures of, I haven't taken a picture of the backside of them.
Well, you know, and I noticed that you put together some nice little displays, though, too, because you had, like, I think it was you, you had a Philco radio record player with the Bing Crosby album and a little booklet there, and...
Right.
it's neat when you can pull all those different loose ends together. It's great enough just to see the sets, but then when you can pull in some stuff that's from that era, it really makes kind of puts the finishing touch on the display, gives it that nice, you know, museum effect. So that's neat. The other thing that I marvel at is, the way that, you talked about the sentimental value of your sets. You know, if you look at the electronics and a lot of the equipment, now you're talking about some of your, you've seen these very advanced radios restored and beautiful cabinet work done. There's a lot of engineering. There was a lot of quality craftsmanship on the woodwork that went into these. And, people, I think, don't give credit that generation was as sophisticated as they were. And, you listen to the music, you listen to some of the old shows and the theater of the mind, and you start to listen to some of the humor, and you see how, not only educated people were, some of the jokes and the plays on words were pretty sophisticated. And it's an interesting little prism to look through back into history, and it's a neat feel. So it must be nice to have a show that you can help shine a light on that whole lifestyle and that whole era and that whole generation.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Paul. That's exactly right, because there is a niche for this type of music and entertainment, and sadly, the number of stations that play that type of music are dwindling fast, and I'm grateful to 1420 The Breeze for allowing me to do that, and it's really a labor of love. It's not a paying job or anything. It's just a hobby, but I enjoy doing it each week, and just as I'm sure you enjoy your Tube Talk.
I certainly do. And the other thing that impresses me quite a bit, though, sometimes I'll listen to the show, over the air up here where I'm close enough to pick up the broadcasts. If you have a fine, well-playing tube radio set and your station puts out a good signal, it's really impressive just how good, from a clarity and quality sound, this music comes across, these many years later. So I don't know if that's something you notice. If you have a nice restored set and you put a good signal into it, how great the stuff still sounds, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does, and if you have an AM transmitter that you can transmit your own
very
audio
popular
archive, that is even another way to go, and it's really adds to the nostalgic effect. If you can have take an example, my 1946 Philco 1201, if you can play a Bing Crosby episode of Philco Radio Time from that year, in which he advertises the 1201 right through the speaker of the original radio, that to me is the coolest thing.
Yeah, that is very cool. I like that stuff. That's the type of stuff I occasionally will try to get out and visit schools if they're nice enough to let me come in, and I will do some stuff, especially around the holidays. I have a version of Ronald Coleman doing a Christmas Carol. And it's it's a short enough version, but he just has a great voice, you know, with the accent and all. And I try to get the kids to pay attention. I say, you know, close your eyes and listen to the sound effects and listen to how they express things so that they try to create images in your head and see if you can get this. And it's impressive sometimes, you know, if they're willing to concentrate on it. Some of them say, wow, that is really kind of cool, because it's something that's very foreign to them. They never hear that. Everything's visual. Everything's on TV. It's always old movies. So, and that is
that's very true, very true. And a couple of series that come to mind that are excellent for theaters of the mind like that are Suspense and Inner Sanctum. Those two series, if you sit and listen to those, you can just put yourself in the scene and picture exactly what's going on. It's really amazing.
You know, those are very well produced, and I think it was Inner Sanctum that Hyman Brown, who later worked on the CBS Mystery Theater, was the producer on, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, he's just a real pro, and those broadcasts are great. I'm fond of, I like the Lights Out stuff is very good,
yes.
And I've got a couple of those that I don't listen to if I don't have the lights on, but don't tell me. But I mean, no, it really is very gripping, and if you kind of let yourself get caught up in it. And the other nice thing, too, is you don't have to read it. You don't have to let your eyes get tired. You can just kind of close your eyes in a room and sit back and imagine. And it's a different type of relaxation. It's something that's very foreign to our generation. You know, sometimes I kid around. I try to create the image that we're in the little radio room with the, you know, big RCA 281, and the dial is glowing softly, and we've got the blackout curtains are drawn, and we're in that big, comfortable, overstuffed chair. It's nice and warm in here. It's cold out at night, and we're just going to curl up and listen to some good music. And it's just the same feel, whether it's a show or music or some type of a program from way back. It's a different type of a feel, and it's a fun way to experience the history.
Yes, it is. And that, to me, is one of the appeals of having an antique radio, is to sit in a dark room and just get mesmerized by the glow of the dial. A lot of these radios had beautiful dials when they were lit up, and you can just, you're putting yourself in a time machine. You're looking at an image that
exactly
goes back to the year the radio was manufactured.
And it's always interesting to try to imagine what came through that speaker. Was it FDR? Was it War News? Was it, you know, Joe DiMaggio getting a big hit in a game? So, you know, that's fun too. But it's, you know, it's something that a lot of people, unfortunately, haven't experienced, and it's up to us, the analog Avengers, to bring it to them and convince them this is the way of life. Turn them into little tube necks, you know. So let me ask.
I would agree.
I just have to ask you a couple of questions. We try to ask this of everybody who comes on the show, and it's a tough question. I stump a lot of people with it because they have so many. But out of all your sets, if we're going to send Greg out to the desert island somewhere, which one would you just absolutely have to have? You couldn't part with it.
Well, that for me would be the easy answer, would be my Philco 1201.
That's the
it's
one.
It's not what you would call by any means a fancy radio. It's not the most powerful, it's just a simple AM band, but that slide-in record player that they had is just the neatest invention. Even today, when I show people, demonstrate it to people who really don't even have an interest in antique radios, they're amazed that there was that technology back in 1946. Because, in essence, what you're doing is the same thing you do in your car with a compact disc today. You slide the disc in the slot and it plays.
Yep. You know, it's funny, too, because, you know, a lot of the technology that was in these radios later comes on and, you know, maybe some type of a mutated manner or an advent, you know, maybe mutated is a bad word. Let's say, you know, it further develops. I you know, show somebody an ad that has the, you know, Philco. Now you can have music on a beam of light. And they go, well, what do you mean a beam of light? And I thought they just always had needles. And, you know, again, it's this mentality that we're somehow, you know, roasting our meat over fires and, you know, it's the Fred Flintstone land. No, there was something before that. But, you know, that sounds like a nice radio. I'm glad you're that enamored with it that you'd have to take it with you. So anyway, Greg, I'd like to thank you really for spending some time with us tonight. Tune in, check out the show. It's 1420 a.m. The Breeze. And what time is it? It's 11 o'clock East Coast time, but it's 10 o'clock. What are you, in the Central Zone?
Central time zone here, yes, every Saturday night.
1420 a.m. The Breeze up in Wisconsin, the beautiful state. Greg, thanks so very much for being on. Thanks for keeping keeping it keeping on. Thanks for keeping the spirit alive out there, and I look forward to seeing your posts on the forum. And maybe we'll have you on again soon sometime. We'll dissect a few old radio shows. It should be fun.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Paul. I enjoyed it.
Take care now. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Put on the skillet, put on the lid. Mammy's gonna bake a little shortening bread. That ain't all Mammy's gonna do. She's gonna make a little cohort for two. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Her little baby loves shortening bread. Three little babies lying in bed. Two was sick and the other most dead. We sent for the doctor. The doctor said he fed those babies on the shortening bread. Mammy's baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's baby loves bread. Mammy's baby loves shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Slipped up the lid, slipped our box full of shortening bread. Stole the skillet, stole the lid. We all stole the girls making shortening bread. Oh, Mammy's baby loves shortening. Oh, Mammy's baby loves shortening. Oh, Mammy's baby loves every shortening bread. Shortening bread is always a diddy-a-diddy-a-da-da-da. They must have their bread. They caught me with the skillet, they caught me with the lid, they caught me with the gallon, making shortening bread. Paid $6 for the skillet, paid $6 for the lid. Spent 6 months in jail eating shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Rip roar. Oh, ho, 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 Mammy, give us that bread.
Well, gang, it's sure nice to see somebody else has a radio program that helped keep the flavor of old-time radio alive. And not only that, he's got all kinds of radios in his collection. He's listening to his own show, I'm sure, on one of those nice Philcos that I see. And just to remind you all, we appreciate you tuning in to Tube Talk. Yes, friends, you have persevered. You have climbed the Mount Everest of the radio world. You have reached the zenith of the independently produced broadcast experience right here on 1330 AM radio, WRCA, streaming on the WRCA site, and you can also get WRCA on iHeartRadio and tune in.
far too wonderful to be what you seem. Could there be eyes like yours? Could there be lips like yours? Could there be smiles like yours, honest and truly? You stepped out of a cloud. I want to take you away, away from the crowd, and have you all to myself, alone. Heart out of a dream, save into my heart. From the crowd, and have you all to myself, alone and apart, out of a dream, safe into my heart. Wa-dee-da-la, out of a dream.
We just had some Nat King Cole, Out of a Dream. And before that, we had Count Basie jumping all over the place. Thanks for tuning in to Tube Talk tonight. We appreciate your listenership. Our email address here is tubetalk1@gmail.com. You can always reach us there with your suggestions, comments, reactions, thoughts for another program.
Guess there's no use in hanging around. Guess I'll get dressed and do the town. I'll find some crowded avenue, though it will be empty without you. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Call up some girl used to know. After I heard her say hello, I couldn't think of anything to say. Since you're gone, it happens every day. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Kidding, only me. 'Cause no one else could take your place. Guess that I am just a hopeless case. Can't get used to losing you no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you.
Well, so long and good night for this week, gang. We'll see you all next week on another exciting adventure of Tube Talk.